This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. More than 400 years ago, Miguel de Cervantes created a character that has stood the test of time, Don Quixote de la Mancha. He's a middle-aged Spanish gentleman who goes out on a great adventure, including an infamous battle with windmills that he insists are evil giants. Don Quixote is the protagonist in a two-part novel, El Quixote, that's considered by many to be the first modern novel, and it's one of the most published and translated books in the world. This year marks the 400th anniversary of the second part of the novel, and the occasion inspired local artist Rafael Osuba to examine how this work continues to resonate with artists and thinkers today. He coordinated a seven-month-long festival that gathers artists around the state to share work that reflects the character and spirit of Don Quixote. The festival includes an art exhibit called I Am Quixote, Yo Soy Quixote. It highlights the work of 32 artists across the state. It's on view at the Durham Arts Council through January. We get a special preview today. Rafael Osuba is one of my guests, and he joins us right now. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Muchas gracias. Thank you for having me.
Tell us more about Miguel de Cervantes and this remarkable book that he wrote.
Miguel de Cervantes is a fantastic character himself. I mean, he lived an incredible life. So he had a lot of material to pull from when he decided that he was going to create this wonderful character, Don Quixote de la Mancha, which I self-identify with for many different reasons. And, you know, he was most recently we've gotten a lot of press because he was recently found.
And alive? No.
His remains.
That would be a story.
Yeah, his remains were found where they believed he might have been, and yeah. They were able to, find him and give him a proper burial this year. So a lot of things have happened this year. Great for me and great for the festival.
Well, and we have to talk about this book being kind of the first modern novel. I mean, here's a guy who's writing, you know, about 100 years after the invention of the printing press, movable type. And now, you know, it's an industry and there's a popular press. And this changes the way the kinds of stuff that's being written, right?
Yeah. You know, you've got at that time he was dealing with a lot of things. So he created a character that was kind of going back to the past rather than trying to face with the times of this new Iron Age, if you will. And you have a character that he wanted to poke fun. He created this character that would poke fun of those picaresque and those chivalric novels, yeah, or stories. And so I think he started off as trying to tell a joke and poke fun, and it turned into something much bigger and greater.
And I think it's just an important point in literary history, because those chivalric novels talked about an aristocracy. They were knights in armor on their quests. And this is, you know, a few centuries old, obviously catering to an aristocracy that could read and afford the expensive technology of book publishing at the time. Once it becomes the popular press, we want to see people who aren't that. And Don Quixote is one of them. He uses a kind of two vernacular system, right? He's using a little high Castilian to poke fun at that, almost as though if I were to affect a British accent and start to talk like I was from Oxford. There's a little bit of that going on, which we miss, too bad, in English. This is a book for the masses, in a way, and perhaps why we call it the first modern novel?
Yeah, well, I think really because many have said that it's the first modern novel for a lot of different reasons. Dr. Wade, Jonathan Wade at Meredith, says that the reason is because he was going into uncharted waters. He was really reinventing something. He was taking a bomb, if you will, and throwing it into the rules, yeah, and just blowing up all the rules and creating something completely different. And saying, you know, I'm gonna throw away those rules and I'm gonna do something that has never been done before.
Part of it was a story about storytelling. It's meta. It's as though it's a recovered manuscript and we're telling it to give it a kind of veracity, like as though this were a true story.
Yeah, it's a story within a story, yeah, within a story, and that's what makes it kind of cool. And you know, Cervantes was very clever in making sure that he was also in the book. You know, and I think the thing that's really exciting about this is that the novel itself becomes a character in the two novels, and so we have characters that are talking about the star characters, Don Quixote and his sidekick Sancho Panza, by the second book. So that's kind of incredible. And the other thing is that there was, in between the first and the second book, there was another book that came out. And so Cervantes deals with that as well by, you know, mentioning about this falsehood or this book that, you know, is not telling the story correctly.
Right. He was trying to set the record straight. So any art, any work that's about, or a novel that's about writing, would certainly inspire a festival of artists reflecting on his work. And that's what you've done. And part of this festival includes artists in our area. The exhibit on view at the Durham Arts Council is called I Am Quixote, Yo Soy Quixote. And we have a couple of the artists with us today. Betsy Berkner is here, an artist and designer based in Charlotte. Betsy, welcome to the State of Things. Good
Thank
to have you
for
here.
Having me.
Tell us a bit about your armor project. It's fascinating. And first, you should tell us about the project itself and then how you think it fits.
I started making armor about 4 or 5 years ago after I had gone to see the Terracotta Army at the High Museum in Atlanta. And I got so turned on. I had loved fashion from the time I was a little kid. I was making Barbie clothes when I was little. And so to see clothing and faces made out of this terracotta clay, I was just in awe of this. And every one of them is different. There's no duplication. Everyone is their own persona. So I came back and I was thinking about this whole armoring of ourselves as we age and grow and develop. And so I started making breastplates out of clay. And the whole project is about the messages that the onslaught of messages, really, from our family and from media and from society, and how we integrate those messages into our own development, and how do we take those messages and decide, okay, I'm going to take this one, I'm not going to take mm-hmm. that one. For me, growing up as a young woman in North Carolina, the messages were, if you're going to be successful, you have to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
I should be nice. I should be pretty. I should marry a doctor. I should be skinny. I should be beautiful. I should have kids. And so all of those shoulds were something that I had to take into my own being and decide, okay, what piece of that is authentic for me?
And very much about the human condition, as you say, but also rooted in the experience of a woman in this particular cultural milieu. I mean, I'm holding up the breastplate. I should be skinny, for instance. And maybe you can describe it for us and just talk about what you're thinking here.
So this piece actually has the rib cage emblazoned on it with the buttons running down the center. The buttons were actually molded from a button that I had inherited from my mother-in-law, which was probably made back in the 30s. So the idea that we have this I should be skinny that is being dictated to us by the media, and how far do women take that to the point of bizarre surgeries and illnesses? And I really want to open that conversation for people about how far we take these ideas.
What's beautiful about the form using these breastplates, a kind of armor plate, is that it reveals both the inner and the outer at once. It reveals an outer form that has in it the elements of its own concealment, what it is you're trying
right.
to conceal. At the same time, you're sort of puffing your breast out, right?
Right.
And protecting yourself at the same time.
The idea that they're made out of clay and the fragility of the clay is really important to me because of that idea that you can break free of whatever that message is. You can find your authenticity and break out of that molded clay armor. It's very important.
Also participating in this festival and exhibit, I Am Quixote, is a Durham photographer, Jean-Christian Rostani. He is a Durham-based photographer. And Jean-Christian, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Great to be here. Thank you, Frank.
So now this is a provocative photo, I will say. You should tell us about this. These are mushrooms.
Yes, these are mushrooms that I found totally by accident at Duke Gardens. Everything that I do is reality-based. There's nothing that is fabricated because I believe that the strength of photography is its strong connection with reality, and that's where the emotional part comes from. So those mushrooms were under a big oak tree at Duke Gardens, and I had to go back home and take a camera to capture that because instantly I actually saw the Don Quixote connection. That's what jumped at me, and it also jumped at me that maybe later that I was myself some kind of Don Quixote, especially here in America, when I'm definitely an added part and somebody that some people, notably in the establishment, have often had a problem to relate with and sometimes disagree with, as you may remember. And so that's how I came to create this photograph, which later I discovered would be the perfect business card. And because indeed it is all me in this photograph.
Well, we should say that's mushrooms, but there is one lone mushroom that's in focus in the foreground. And then behind it, by some distance, is a rather larger group of mushrooms arrayed. It almost appears in some ways menacingly. I mean, that's the effect. Obviously, you recorded this thing as it was or photographed it. The lone mushroom standing in the foreground, I will say, does have a kind of phallic valence.
No, yeah, there's definitely a big sexual connotation to this photograph. It's an added layer to it to confuse at first. And I kind of like to drone the fish, meaning to create diversions around what the main subject is. That's a little more subtle, and it also add a second element to a piece of art that's always making attractive. And when it's sexuality, we all know that animals like mammals are all about sexuality. You know, that's something that advertisers have discovered a long time ago. Right. And so it never hurts to have that.
and again, the Quixote connection here, this kind of standing alone over and against, apart from what is clearly your kind, and yet there's a way in which this particular lone mushroom is distinct and apart from the rest.
Yeah, and it definitely talks about the little guy who is not afraid of standing up to the bigger ones, and which is something. I mean, I'm a small fellow, and I've often had to be in that type of situation, whether physically or intellectually.
Betsy, tell us about these breastplates again and their connection to Cervantes and Don Quixote.
That's very interesting because Raphael contacted me and said, "You have got to be in the show because it's armor. It's all about the search and going for it and working through and trying to find your authenticity." So that's how I see Don Quixote. He's in the search. One of the pieces is about the oceans, and he loved the ocean. And one is about the mermaid. There was a collaboration with Angelica Morales that I had, I was in collaboration with her at the McCall Center for Art and Innovation. And her story is about the mermaid. So one of the pieces has a mermaid on it. And so that, I think, just fits in beautifully with the story.
Raphael, tell us what else you were looking for as you began to talk with artists around the state. What are you looking for?
Well, I was really looking for those connections. I really wanted to find artists that that could really show the relevance of Don Quixote and the stories. I wanted to tell the story through their perspective. And at the same time, I wanted to make sure that people found those connections and pushed themselves, but saw things differently. You know, that's the story of Quixote. He saw things completely different. And I think that when you go to the exhibit, you're going to find, of course, you're going to find Don Quixote, and you're going to find Sancho Panza, and you're going to find Rocinante. But you're also going to find other artists that are looking at the world completely different. And it's unique. And it's a story that's been told for over for 400 years, and it's still relevant today.
Jean, when Raphael came to you, I mean, obviously you had done this work. Betsy, you had already done your work, and Raphael comes to you. What did you think? How did your mind start turning about or contextualize the work you had already done if you see it in the context of Cervantes?
Well, as a matter of fact, I had seen the call for artists that was around about this show, and immediately I thought, well, Cervantes is among us. The photograph we just talked about came to mind. I mean, it sounded that the show was made for that photograph, but I only had that one. And then Raphael called me and he said, you know, I absolutely want you to submit that, but I'm sure that you have other work. I said, well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've been thinking about it. I'm not sure that I have anything else. And so one thing after another, he started to give me a crash course about Don Quixote, because of course, like most people, I have not read it. I probably studied it in school a long time ago, but and I know the main thing, you know, the knight who fights the windmills, etc., and Sancho Panza. But I didn't know more than that. He was very good in 15 minutes to tell me about really. I feel that I have read Don Quixote now. and all of a sudden, by the end of that conversation, I already had a couple of photographs, one of which is in this show, Local Joes, because it's the main aspect of Don Quixote, as Raphael just mentioned, is the guy who is able to see differently, to see things that nobody sees, right or wrong. And that's what artists tend to be in general, and that's definitely an aspect that is very present in my work. And so I started to have many work that came to mind, and since actually even more. and there is notably that photograph that's also in the show called Dulcinea, which is a character that I wasn't familiar with. In French, we have a word, Dulcine, which comes directly from Dulcinea, which comes directly from Don Quixote, and it's part of a common language. It means a man's ideal love. Mm. And I didn't know that. And then I discovered that I have that photograph, which is at the Dramas Council at the moment, which is for me the perfect incarnation of Dulcinea, because it's not a real person. It's an abstraction, just as in the book, Dulcinea appears to be an abstraction. Again, not having read the book, I'm venturing cautiously at the second, but it seems to me from what Raphael told me that Dulcinea really never appears in the book. It's somebody that Don Quixote barely knows and has never talked to, etc. So it's really the idea of love, and that's what this photograph is about.
Cervantes, Beatrice, Betsy. What about you? How much did you know about the book, and how much did you begin to rethink your work in the context of Cervantes?
Well, I too was studied this book in school and had to go back and review because. Lack of memory, but it was one of those really wonderful things, and I think that's the thing about this whole festival is that it made me want to read more and more and more, and so it made me realize with Don Quixote being this visionary that really all of us as artists are visionary in some way. We are trying to make our art and let our art be what we really, really want it to be. And what does that mean exactly? You know, we're reacting to it. That's the art experience. Yeah. We move forward. We respond. We move maybe in a different direction than we thought we were going to go. But the art is better for it.
By that kind of reflection. And then the way it communicates with all of us. So, Raphael, tell us more about we've been talking mostly about the exhibit at the Durham Arts Council, but this is a seven-month-long festival. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, the seven-month-long festival didn't start off with this idea that it was going to be 7 months long. I mean, that was basically out of a creative way to find folks to participate. We're about 2 months into the festival, and we've had some great events we've been able to bring to the table. The festival is a collaborative, so there's no major sponsor. Everyone that is involved is bringing their own talent, bringing their own skills, bringing their own love of wanting to celebrate these 400 years and this wonderful story. And I think that that's the beauty of the festival. It's a lot like the book, very spontaneously. It's evolving, it's growing, it's becoming something that I had hoped could be. But like Cervantes, when he wrote the books, I don't think he set out to create this modern novel. He didn't really know where to go. I myself didn't know where this was going to go. And pleasantly, it's been fantastic.
Raphael, thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you so much.
Raphael Azube is an artist and artistic director of the seven-month-long El Quixote Festival. Artists Betsy Berkner and Jean-Christian Rostani also joined us. Thank you all for being on the program.
Thank you very much, Frank.
You can see the work, I Am Quixote, Yo Soy Quixote. The exhibit is currently on view at the Durham Arts Council. They'll also be participating in an artist roundtable at the council tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And, of course, you can get that information again if you missed it on our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, Raleigh poet Gibbons Ruark shares his newest book about his second home in Ireland. Stay tuned.